You will, of course, have observed that the ears are not a pair.
I've noticed that, yes.
In my experience, Holmes, nobody yet had two left ears.
To send two odd ones, though, would be as easy as to send a pair.
Given an unlimited supply of ears, isn't it?
Well, the dissecting rooms
will be... Straight, this business has nothing to do with any medical student's practical joke.
How can we be sure of that?
Well, let us say the presumption is strongly against.
Ah, presumption.
Now, do you spell preservative fluid here, Watson?
You're thinking of carbolic?
No, or rectified spirits.
No. I can detect no scent of either.
And yet, in spite of the hot weather, there's no decay evident.
Well, the coarse salt here would account for the relative preservation of these very singular enclosures. That and the fact that they were dispatched fresh.
Preserved like salt pork.
Ah, it's very perceptive, Watson.
Mind you, a freshly arrived corpse in a teaching hospital wouldn't be full of carbolic, would it? Not if our man got to it quickly.
But any medical student would naturally use a scalpel for such work. And do it neatly, whereas these specimens have been hacked off.
Yes, with a none-too-sharp knife.
Yeah. I should say one of these is a woman's, and the other a man's.
Yes. Both, however, pierced for earrings, and the man's ear is sunburnt and discoloured. Yes. Does that not suggest anything to you, Inspector?
I can't say it does, but then, Mr. Holmes, I don't believe it matters much. I have a name for my suspect.
Ah, yes, yes, Mr. McElroy.
Yes. And a motive for a practical joke against Miss Cushing.
We have evidence, Lestrade, that two people have quite certainly been mutilated, and strong suspicion that they may be dead.
I think that is fairly clear, yes, but if it's a criminal matter, why should anybody send this most quiet and respectable lady such proofs of his guilt? Well, unless she's the most consummate actress I've ever seen, she knows as little of it as we do.
But for this student McElroy, Miss Cushing has no connection with Belfast?
Yes, Belfast, from whence this unpleasant package. Yes, I'd like to examine it a little more light, if I may.
I was just thinking.
Yes, what, Doctor?
I remember I once read in a book of Irish legend there was an ancient warrior tribe in Ulster.
The Ulli.
That was the name, yeah. In battle, they took the ears off their fallen victims for trophies.
Did they? And would there be any McElroys descended from this tribe, do you think?
Lestrade, you have a veritable idée fixe about Irish medical students.
Well, the package was sent from Ireland, wasn't it?
But even it militates against your theory.
I don't see that.
And the address, for instance?
Miss S. Cushing, Cross Street, Croydon.
Done with a broad pointed pen and a very inferior ink.
What of it?
The word Croydon has originally been spelt with an I and then corrected.
A slip?
Perhaps. Then, what have you made of the string which tied the package?
It's string.
Smell.
It's tarred string.
Precisely. It's a piece of twine which has been tarred. And?
Cut. By Miss Cushing. With a scissors.
Around the knot. Now, this is of importance.
As you say, Mr. Holmes.
The knot has been left intact, and it's of a particular character.
It's very neatly tied. I've already made a note of that.
Good. So much for the string, then. Now, the box itself.
Yellow, cardboard, half-pound honeydew tobacco. Two thumbprints, without a doubt, Miss Cushing's.
Yeah, I'm obliged to you, Lestrade. You're right. Little of interest.
Well, I can't say it concerns me, Mr. Holmes. I already have my suspect. And if, as you seem to believe, two people have been murdered...
Have you said that, Holmes?
Well, if they haven't, according to your theory, we should have heard their story by now. I mean, two people with an ear missing.
But who, if not their presumed murderer, would have sent this package to Miss Cushing?
Well, the sender is certainly the man we want.
Well, whoever he is, McElroy or some other, he must have strong reason for sending these to this lady.
To tell her the deed was done. Or it may be to cause pain.
Perhaps both.
Well, if that's so, then she must know who it is.
Then why call in the police? She cannot shield the man by so doing.
Yeah, you're right, Watson. If she wished to do that, she would have buried the box with its grisly contents and nobody would have been any the wiser.
And if she knows him but doesn't wish to shield him, why not give us his name?
The only possible reason is, as she says, that she does not know it.
Yes, there's an infernal tangle at the heart of this business.
And one more thing, Mr. Holmes. Where are the presumed bodies?
I have to ask Miss Cushing a few more questions.
Well, I don't think I can learn anything further here. I have some little business in a dissecting room to sort out. A good day to you, gentlemen.
Tongues, Watson.
What?
The battle trophies of the Ulli warriors. They were tongues. not ears.
I'm glad Mr. Lestrade has no more questions. He would hardly listen to my answers.
Tell me about your brother-in-law, Miss Cushing.
Who has told you of him?
No one. I introduced him. You have two sisters, do you not?
But how could you know that, Mr. Holmes?
Yeah, portrait group on your mantelpiece.
Ah.
My friend Holmes is very quick to make the most extraordinary deductions from a framed portrait.
Nothing spectacular this time, Watson. One of the three ladies in this group is undoubtedly yourself, Miss Cushing, while the others are so exceedingly like you.
Yes, they are my sisters, Sarah and Mary.
Yes, not my elbow here. Another portrait. Your younger sister again.
Taken at Liverpool, I see.
She's unmarried at the time of this picture, but she's in the company of a young man, a steward by his uniform. The fact that he's still here suggests he subsequently became your brother-in-law.
You are very quick at observing, Mr. Holmes.
It is my trade.
Mary was married to Jim Browner a few days after that was taken. He was so fond of her. He was then on the South American line, but he couldn't abide to leave his new wife for so long at a time. So he got into the Liverpool and London boats.
That's the Conqueror, perhaps, or the Mayday?
The Mayday, when last I heard.
So do they live still in Liverpool?
We don't know how things are going with them now.
There was a quarrel.
You don't know my sister Sarah's temper, sir. She and I tried keeping house together when first I moved here to Croydon.
But you had to part.
About 2 months ago, she moved to Wallington.
Not far, then.
But distant enough, Mr. Holmes. I wouldn't say a word against my own sister. But she couldn't get on with Mary and Jim Browner, though they lived once, altogether the best of friends.
At their home?
In Liverpool, yes. Sarah went to stay, not long after the marriage, but she fell out with Jim last autumn, I believe, and now she has no word too hard for him.
You have no knowledge of the cause?
No, but Sarah was always meddlesome and hard to please, and try as I might, in the end, she couldn't get on with me either.
Is life a boon? If so, it must be full. The death when you call must go too soon.
Dr. McIlroy, I presume.
No, not doctor yet. Fourth year. Internal organs. This term?
My name is Lestrade.
From Scotland Yard, in Hall of Papers, one of our smartest detective officers.
Don't let me interrupt your work, Mr. McIlroy.
No, I'm right at your disposal now, Inspector. Now I've taken what I need.
Well, if you keep up with the newspapers, Mr. McIlroy, you perhaps know already what I wish to ask.
Not a bit of it, Mr. Lestrade. I have to resit an examination, you see, in 3 days' time. Do you think I can afford even a minute to read the daily something or other?
Then may I start with your activities since Tuesday? I suppose you'll say you've been boning up on anatomy or some such.
God, no. Tuesday I was drunk.
You were what?
Flat on my back. Most of the afternoon and well into Wednesday morning. Then I remembered how little I knew for the examination, so I've been here off and on ever since.
Off and on?
A man has to take a moment away from work from time to time. That's basic anatomy, you know. I could get a few good marks for that.
Can anyone vouch for this?
Most of the men here, I should say. Is that not right?
Oh, yes.
Now, answer me this, McIlroy. Have you been home to Belfast this last week?
What?
Miss Susan Cushing, your former landlady, received on Thursday, by parcel post from Belfast, a cardboard box containing two severed human ears.
I'm sorry. Mr. What did you say your name was?
Lestrade.
Oh, dear heaven. If that isn't the best I've heard this whole month. Did she think I might have done it?
Did she not ask you to leave her house because of your notorious delinquency?
It really is too good, Inspector. No. Oh, dear, let us be serious for a moment, then. I have nothing whatever to do with this package. I'm sorry.
So you say.
Let me tell you several good reasons why. First, I play no tricks on ladies. Nurses, that's another affair. But ladies, no. Second, I have never had reason to go to Belfast. nor anywhere in Ireland, for that matter. My family came from there, yes, but they have lived in Buckingham these three generations.
You might have had your package sent off.
Man alive. It is 2 whole years since Miss Cushing and I parted company forever. And any man here will tell you, Inspector, I would not bear a grudge for 10 minutes. Yeah, and lastly, where in the name of goodness would I be getting the ears from?
Well, I should have considered it obvious, man. Just look about you.
No, Inspector, you look about you. Look here, for instance.
Disgraceful.
You'll find all their heads upstairs, Inspector, in the second year cranial class.
Do we expect Miss Sarah Cushing to be at home?
If my suspicion is correct, Watson, she either will or will not be. Each eventuality will be of the greatest significance.
Oh, this whole business is becoming a miasma.
On the contrary.
Apply yourself to the door knocker. That's a good fellow.
Very well. Oh.
Oh.
Good morning to you,
sir.
Is Miss Cushing not at home, do you know, sir?
Miss Sarah Cushing is extremely ill.
I'm sorry to hear that. Doctor?
Shaughnessy.
May I ask, Doctor, what is the matter with her?
Is it any concern of yours, gentlemen?
My friend is himself in practice.
John Watson.
You'll not be a local man, then?
We've just come from Croydon, from Miss Cushing's sister's house. Miss Susan Cushing.
Well, I'm afraid you may tell Miss Susan Cushing that Miss Sarah is suffering from brain symptoms of great severity.
Do you have any suspicion, Doctor, as to how this may have been brought on?
You are probably as well placed as I to guess at that, Doctor. The symptoms began at some time yesterday afternoon and aggravated thereafter.
Might it be possible for me to see your patient?
I cannot, in conscience, permit it. As Miss Cushing's own medical adviser, I would not wish the responsibility of allowing anyone to disturb her. I should recommend you call again in about 10 days. Good day to you, Doctor. Sir?
Oh, well, if we can't see her, we can't.
That the lady is dangerously ill does not concern you, Holmes.
On the contrary, it's conclusive.
Oh, that there is now yet another Irish medical man in case.
Oh, Watson, you don't seriously entertain what Lestrade's pleased to call a theory, do you?
No. Of course not.
Oh, good. Well, I've a telegram to send. And then, my dear fellow, you may congratulate me, for the matter is entirely cleared up.
I can still hear that gallows bird laughing.
Lestrade?
Thank you. To think that your profession, Dr. Watson, can harbour such... little better than hooligans.
You allowed your natural antipathy for Mr. McElroy to get the better of your open mind. I tried to help you, Lestrade. I thrust each indication to the contrary under your nose, literally, but you failed to draw the appropriate conclusion.
So that was why we kept sniffing at everything to do with that infernal cardboard box.
Precisely, the string, Lestrade. Do you remember the string?
It was tarred.
Of a quality and type used by sailmakers aboard ship. I grant a medical student might have possessed some, but taken into account with the rest, with a knot which tied the package.
Of a particular character, you said?
Favoured by sailors. The package was posted from...
Belfast,
an important seaport. The preservation of the ears, as you, Watson, so pertinently observed, like salt pork. A sailor would think first of that, not a medical student. And then the male ear was pierced for an earring.
Oh, it's very clear now, of course.
The key to McElroy's innocence lay not in these counter-indications, which all pointed to the see?
No. Then what?
You should have seen it, Lestrade. You really should. The misspelling of the word Croydon.
I instead of Y.
By a medical student living in South London for 2 years and more. Not to be credited.
At the time, though, Holmes, suspicion of McElroy did appear to have merit.
But I approached the case with what was essential. An open mind. And had you been right in McElroy, Lestrade, with what could you have charged him? Breach of the Queen's peace? Abuse of the Royal Mail?
Yeah, well...
Desecration of a corpse?
A hard task to charge that to a medical student.
No, my dear Inspector. Better you should earn the credit for solving an extremely shocking and serious crime.
But do you mean you've found out everything, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, every detail. An answer to my telegram earlier this afternoon has provided me with the only missing piece to the puzzle.
Then who is the criminal?
That is the name, Inspector.
Good God.
He's killed twice, Lestrade. Take care.
Are you expecting a fight?
Get a lot of them, Montgomery, do you?
Oh, they come and go with the tide, like the ships that bring them in. One of my specials lost an eye last week, somewhere in a scrum of Malays or Chinamen, I don't know. But the Liverpool and London ships are generally quiet enough.
Well, let's hope the May Day runs true to form, then.
Lestrade, isn't that your man?
Could be. Yes.
He's going to walk right into us. There's luck.
What do you want?
Jim Browner?
Yes. Do you want my papers?
Mind the bag, Lestrade.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
You're coming with me, Browner.
Help!
Oh, leave! Oh, no, you don't!
Shut the door, sir.
Oh, God. Who's got the derby, sir? That's right. I'm arresting you, James Browner, on two charges of murder. Do you have anything to say?
My God, Lestrade. Like a baby.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, come in. And Dr. Watson, good morning.
Good morning.
My apologies for so early an invitation, but I knew you'd like to see the result of the scheme we had formed to test our theories.
How do you do, Mr. Browner?
You didn't need to come for me, sir.
He intends, he says, to make a clean breast of it all. Though I don't doubt but that you'll find it an extremely simple affair.
But to a keen student of human experience, it cannot fail to be interesting.
And to an author, Watson, yes?
Well, I'm not sure that the public taste will accept of the details, you know.
I don't care a plug what you do with my story or me. You can't punish me as I've been punished already. I've not shut an eye in sleep since. Sometimes it's his face, but more generally it's hers. Kind of surprised.
He cared all right when we took him. I have the marks to prove it. But then he says he didn't know we were the police.
I've been jumped once or twice before in port at night.
And right enough, he came docile once we had the derbies on him. Mind you, they usually do.
Tell us about the three sisters, Mr. Browner.
It was Sarah's doing.
Oh, come now.
I don't say it to clear myself. I know the man I was. But the root of the business is, Sarah Cushing loved me.
A shilling, 2 and 6 pence. And 2 odd pennies for the pig.
In all Liverpool, there was no better woman than my Mary.
How shall we spend it all?
Whatever you say, my love, is what we'll do.
Then I shall take it to the Friendly Society for a rainy day.
And you could have had whatever your fancy was, Mary.
Oh, I have only the one fancy. My Jim.
My love. I had taken the pledge at that time. And I wore the teetotaler's blue ribbon with the pride of a man truly reformed, I can tell you. Mary kept our lives bright as a new dollar.
Shall you be home again this weekend?
Better.
Really?
The May Day's being held back for cargo.
For how long?
Well...
Oh, come on, Jim, how long?
It might be a week. Could you put up with me for a whole week?
Oh, could I not?
My God. Whoever would have thought it could have come to this?
Since you'll have the week, then...
Anything you wish.
Might you find time to put up the old bedstead in the other room?
Why? Who's coming to stay?
Well, we haven't seen my sister since the wedding, Jim.
And which of your many sisters would you be talking about?
Don't be silly.
When you're an only child, Mary, 3 seems a big, big family.
But use your head, Jim Browner, for once. Susan has all her waking hours used up keeping that lodging house of hers.
She's a good woman. God forbid you should have to slave like she does.
And who should it be to stay with us but Sarah? And now we can afford it.
Can we?
I'll show you. Here are our outgoings, see?
Yes, the older sister was just a good woman. The youngest, my Mary, she was an angel. And the second was a devil.
So much better here, Jim, than in stuffy, smoky old London.
She was a fine, tall woman, black hair, quick and fierce and flint sparks in her eyes.
I could be at home here, old Jim. With the ships and the men that sail in them.
But as I hope for God's mercy, gentlemen, when my little wife Mary was with me, I had never a thought for Miss Sarah Cushing. And that I swear.
Shall we take a turn a little further, then?
Why not? I've half an hour or so before Mary gets back from her shopping.
Oh, it's good to have your company. When one knows so few people in Liverpool as I do. If you and Mary are both out of the place, I'm sure I become as cantankerous as any old maid.
Oh, you're not old, Sarah. Not you.
Thank you, kind sir.
4 years my Mary's senior? That's nothing.
Mary is a child still, to her sisters at least.
It had seemed to me on occasion that she would make times and places where she could be alone with me. But I thought nothing of it for some weeks.
I've made your coffee.
Where's Mary then?
She's just out to pay some accounts. Sit down, Jim. I've got your meal nearly ready too.
I'd rather wait, Sarah.
Aren't you hungry?
I am, yes.
Then come on.
No, it's just I'd rather we ate as a family.
Oh, Jim, can't you be happy for just 5 minutes without Mary?
She's my wife.
But it's a poor compliment to me, isn't it? For so short a time, you can't be content with my company.
And then I knew.
Is that not so?
That's all right, my lass.
There.
I just put out my hand to her, in a kindly way, no more. And her clasp burned as if with a fever. We didn't speak. What was there to say? I saw it all in her eyes. So, I took my hand back again from hers.
Steady, old Jim.
She hated me from the moment of that rejection.
Heaven has no rage like love to hatred turned.
And you may think me a fool for it, but I let her go on biding with us, for Mary's sake.
Did Sarah Cushing show you any overt malice?
She avoided me, but she and Mary were never apart.
Husband and wife do grow away from each other, Mary, you know, after a time.
And I found myself left aside from them more and more.
But so soon? Oh,
I suppose it's in their nature. And then Jim's away so much. Don't you worry for him?
Less now I have your company, Sarah. And when he's back home...
Yes.
Well, he has the both of us to talk to. And when I have to go out...
Yes.
Is that something wrong?
Not really.
Sarah?
Mary, I'd rather not find myself alone with him again.
What do you mean?
My God, how that woman could hate. Even to poison my own wife's mind against me.
So you say, Browner, but that's never been reckoned an excuse for murder.
I don't excuse myself. Aren't I being punished for it?
Maybe you are. You certainly will be.
Well, as I tell you, I don't care. And don't care was hung. For a sheep as for a lamb. So I broke my blue ribbon. Started drinking hard again. Poisoned my mind as Sarah was doing for Mary. All against myself, you see. And she, who'd always been so blithe and trusting, became now irritable. Suspicious.
Is that surprising in her? When you talk to drink and violence?
Not against her.
Man, you killed her.
I never looked on her with anything but love before.
Who was the man?
Sarah brought him into my house. He was a dashing, swaggering chap, Fairbairn. Smart and curled. Good company, I won't deny it. Wonderful, polite ways. And he could talk. Oh, he could talk about what he'd seen. And he'd seen half the world. Our door became always open to him, for he was a friend to us all. It was a month or more. I never suspected a thing. But it takes only a little mischance, and then all a man's peace is gone forever.
How glad I am to see. Why, Jim.
Who did you think I was?
Why are you home so soon?
Why are you so disappointed to see me?
What have you been doing?
Did you think I was him?
No, who?
Fairbairn. Did you hope I was Fairbairn?
Whatever gave you that idea? Jim!
But I knew.
There was no other step she could have mistaken for mine.
Jim, have you been drinking?
If I could have seen him then, I should have killed him.
Don't look at me like that, Jim, don't.
What kind of company have you been keeping?
What kind of company are you now to me?
Where's Sarah?
What has she got to do with this?
Don't you question me.
Jim, don't!
Where is she?
She's in the parlour.
He'd been in and out of my house with his soft, tricky ways. And that devil sister of hers who thought she could turn me against my wife by encouraging them.
What is it with you, Jim?
Alec Fairbairn.
Alec? Why are you angry with Alec?
Sarah. This man, Fairbairn, I'd never want to find him here again in my house.
But he's good company, Jim. And especially when you're not at home. Mary and I need someone
yes,
to talk.
Yes, you're like that, aren't you?
What?
I tell you, he is not to come here again.
But why ever not, Jim?
Because I order it.
Well, I can see if my friends are not good enough for this house, then neither am I.
You can do what you like about it.
Your wife's own sister?
It gives you no right to put your fancy friends between a man and his wife. And you listen to me well, Sarah Cushing. If that Alec Fairbairn shows his face here again, I'll send you one of his ears as a keepsake.
And so you did.
Only it was Miss Susan, not Miss Sarah Cushing, who received the package.
Because you didn't know those two sisters had fallen out as well. That Miss Sarah had left Croydon 2 months ago.
I never meant to hurt any but Sarah. I swear it.
For so well-meaning a man, you seem to have a remarkable facility for harm.
I was not my own master. Sarah left Liverpool. Mary began first to fear me, then to hate me. And as I was driven more to the drink, I could see she despised me as well. Then came this week. Misery and ruin. Monday, I sailed in the May Day on the afternoon tide. 7 days we were to have been away, but we sprang a plate. Had to put back into Liverpool. What a surprise for Mary, I thought. And it was. She was with him. With Fairbairn. On a day out to New Brighton. The drink and the jealousy had fairly turned my brain. They took a boat out. I followed.
I don't ever want to have to go back.
It was just as if they'd been given into my hands.
Oh, good. I was beginning to think you were getting bored with my company.
The calm sea haze was like a curtain all around us.
Somebody's there. Another boat.
Hello there.
It's like a dream now. But that afternoon, I seem to have all Niagara in my head.
Slow up! There's a boat ahead of you!
My God, shall I ever forget their faces?
You'll have us over!
No!
You mad fool!
She'll be long away!
Damn your black soul to hell!
He came at me with an oar. He must have seen death in my eyes.
Not here! You'll kill us all!
Let her go! Let her...
No!
I would have spared her for all my madness.
Oh, Alec, my love, my love.
She went to him.
Oh, you murdering, bloody...
If Sarah had been there, by the Lord, she should have joined them. But as it was, it gave me a kind of savage joy to think how she would feel when she saw the signs of her meddling's result. Then I tied the bodies into the boat and stove in a plank.
Rejoined your ship and posted the proof of your crime from your first port of call.
And that's the whole truth of it. Now do what you will with me. You can't punish me any more than I am.
A sordid affair, gentlemen.
Will you recover the bodies?
The Cheshire Constabulary can try. Food for fishes only, fitted by my guess. Browner's statement will be enough. Mind you, without his fit of remorse, we should have had precious little evidence.
But the ears, Lestrade?
Well, it could have been anyone's without a matching body.
I think not.
No, indeed. There is no part of the body which varies so much as the human ear.
And the female ear in that cardboard box was an exact match for Miss Susan Cushing's. The victim was clearly a blood relation.
A very close one.
We had already a whiff of the sea, you'll remember, from the evidence of the package. And now we discovered that there were two other Cushing sisters, one of whom had the same initial as Miss Susan and had recently lived with her in Croydon. And the younger sister, Mary, was married to a steward on the London and Liverpool shipping line. I think the connections are now obvious.
Obvious perhaps in retrospect. But you had no proof of the second body's identity. Suppose Mr. and Mrs. Browner had both been murdered. By an unsuccessful lover, say.
It was a clear possibility, and easily solved by the dispatch of a telegram to the Liverpool police. I inquired if Mrs. Browner were at home and if her husband had departed on the May Day. As soon as I had the reply, I was able to give you, Lestrade, the name of the murderer.
Ah, you make it appear so prosaic, Holmes.
So much of everyday police work is just that, Doctor.
Ah, sir, I'm sorry, Watson. I cannot always supply your avid readers with the most spectacular feats of detection. You may obfuscate the telegram if you find it too everyday. Say I deduce the entire business by mere force of close reason.
I shall tell the truth, Holmes, as always.
In The Cardboard Box, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. With Kevin Whateley as Jim Browner and Stephen Thorne as Inspector Lestrade. Mary Browner was played by Teresa Gallagher, Alex Fairbairn by James Telfer, Sarah Cushing by Rachel Atkins, Susan Cushing by Diana Payan, McElroy by Dominic Letts, Inspector Montgomery by John Evitts, and Annabelle by Una Beeson. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Cardboard Box was dramatized for radio by Roger Daines and directed by Patrick Rayner.
A man lies dead in an empty house, his face and limbs hideously contorted. The floor and walls of the room are spattered with blood. There are no wounds on his body. The scarlet thread of murder runs through the colorless skein of life, and our duty is to unravel it and isolate it and expose every inch of it.
A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. A Study in Scarlet, Part 2, The Country of the Saints.
After much fruitless racking of my brain, I had finally discovered that my new fellow lodger, Sherlock Holmes, a man of singular talents, enthusiasms, and areas of ignorance, was, in fact, what he termed a consulting detective. "I have it in me," he told me modestly, "to make my name famous." All he lacked was the proper opportunity. I was convinced, though Holmes was not, that this opportunity had at last arrived with the invitation by no less a personage than Inspector Tobias Gregson of Scotland Yard to investigate the bizarre murder of one Enoch J. Drebber. On the day following the killing, the papers were full of the Brixton mystery.
Listen to this one. Mm? The German name of the murdered man, the absence of all other motive, and the sinister inscription, Rache, Revenge, written upon the wall, all point to political refugees and revolutionists, the socialists of many branches in America.
Don't tell me. The Daily Telegraph.
Oh, very good, Watson. The piece also mentions the Weingericht, Aqua Tofana, the Carbonari, the Marchioness de Brinvilliers, the Darwinian theory, the principles of Malthus, and the Radcliffe Highway murders. what do you have?
The Standard. Lawless outrages of this sort usually occur under a liberal government. They arise from the unsettling of the minds of the masses and the consequent weakening of all authority.
Very true.
And some new facts.
Oh, good heavens.
The deceased was an American gentleman.
Oh, that's hardly new. Even Lestrade and Gregson discovered that.
Who had been residing at the boarding house of Madame Charpentier in Camberwell with his private secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson. So, the mysterious Stangerson has been identified.
Someone's been busy. Probably Gregson. We are glad to learn that Mr. Gregson and Mr. Lestrade of Scotland Yard are both engaged on the case. It is confidently anticipated that these two well-known officers will speedily throw light on the matter.
Which one's that?
Daily News. I told you that whatever happened, those two would be certain to score.
That depends on how it turns out.
Oh, bless you. It doesn't matter in the least. If the man is caught, it'll be on account of their exertions. If he escapes, it'll be in spite of their exertions. A fool can always find a bigger fool to admire him, as the old French poet said.
Holmes?
My dear fellow?
You seem highly delighted by that telegram this morning. What was in it?
Oh, that. The name of the murderer. Shall we order some more toast?
Mr. Holmes.
Mrs. Hudson, have you added mind reading to your many other accomplishments?
Mr. Holmes, I really must protest. What do you think you're doing inviting me?
Come on, Mr.
Holmes!
Attention!
Mr. Holmes, in all my years I have never witnessed such a display.
Silence in the ranks. Mrs. Hudson, may I present the Baker Street Division of the Detective Police Force? Oh. In future, you must wait in the street. Wiggins, you can come up alone to report.
Yes, sir.
Was there anything else, Mrs. Hudson?
There was not.
Right. Have you found it yet?
No, sir, we ain't.
Well, you must keep on until you do. Here are your wages.
Oh, yes,
there we are. Now go, go, and bring back a better report next time.
Yes, sir. All right, you lot. Come on. Hold it. Put them back, Vicky.
I ain't got nothing.
Vicky. That's better. So long, gents.
There's more work to be got out of those little beggars than out of a dozen of the regular force. They can go everywhere and hear everything. All they want is organisation.
You're employing them on this Brixton case?
Yes, there's something I want to track down. It's only a matter of time.
Do you really know the name of the murderer?
Oh, hello. We're going to hear some news now with a vengeance. Here's Gregson coming down the road with beatitude written upon every feature of his face. It's all right, Mrs. Hudson. The gentleman's expected.
My dear Holmes, congratulate me. I've made the whole thing as clear as day. Doctor.
Good morning.
Do you mean that you're on the right track?
The right track? Why, sir, I have the man under lock and key.
And his name?
Arthur Charpentier.
Take a seat, Gregson. Try one of these cigars. Yes, we're anxious to know how you managed it, aren't we, Watson?
Well, yes.
Of course we are.
The fun of it is that that fool Lestrade has gone off on the wrong track altogether. He's chasing after the secretary, Stangerson. But he had no more to do with a cry than a babe unborn. Lestrade's probably arrested him by now.
My dear Gregson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Now, how exactly did you get your clue?
Well, now, I'll tell you all about it. Of course, gentlemen, this is strictly between ourselves.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Well, the first difficulty was the tracing of this Drebber's movements prior to his murder. Now, you may not remember it, but there was a hat lying beside the body.
Yes, made by John Underwood and Sons, 129 Camberwell Road.
Oh. I'd no idea you'd notice that. Have you been there?
No.
Ah, you should never neglect a clue, however small it may seem.
To a great mind, nothing is little.
Exactly. Well, I went to Underwood and Sons and had them check back in their books. Now, that hat was bought by a Mr. Drebber and was delivered. That's how I got his address.
Smart, very smart.
I called upon Madame Charpentier. You know that feeling, Mr. Holmes, when you come upon the right scent, a kind of thrill in your nerves?
I do indeed.
Yes. May I help you?
I found her very pale and distressed. I began to smell a rat.
Mother, who is it?
The daughter also looked extremely red about the eyes. I determined to be direct with them. I am a police officer. Have you heard of the mysterious death of your late boarder, Mr. Enoch J. Drebber?
Admirably direct, Gregson.
Yes. Yes, we have. From the evening paper.
Oh, it's quite exciting. What happened next?
At what o'clock did Mr. Drebber leave your establishment yesterday?
At 8 o'clock.
And was that the last you saw of him?
Yes. No. No, it wasn't.
Alice!
No good can ever come of falsehood, Mother. Let us be frank with this gentleman. We did see Mr. Drebber again.
God forgive you. You have murdered your brother.
I persuaded Madame Charpentier to make a clean breast of the facts. Now, apparently, this Drebber was a bit of a bad lot, and he and Stangerson were ordered off the premises. But Drebber had returned roaring drunk and made obscene advances towards her daughter. This was witnessed by the son, Arthur Charpentier, who soundly trounced the American and threw him out of the house.
Surely, Inspector, that's exactly what one would have expected in
the Yes, Doctor, of course. But then this Arthur followed Drebber out into the street to send him on his way. Now, both the mother and the daughter clearly heard the son's words.
And they were?
I mean it, Drebber, I'll kill you. The son didn't return to the house until the early hours of the morning.
What is his version of events?
Oh, some cock and bull story about just walking away and leaving Drebber lying in the gutter.
Were there any witnesses?
No, none we can trace. Oh, Charpentier thinks he may have heard a cab.
Ah! Oh, well done, Gregson. This is vital information. You really are getting along. We shall make something of you yet.
I flatter myself that I've managed it rather neatly. The whole case fits together uncommonly well.
Did you say you've arrested Charpentier?
Yes, late last evening. No doubt he'll sing a different song after spending the night as a guest of Her Majesty.
Perhaps.
Oh, I can't wait to see that fool Lestrade's face.
Come in, Lestrade.
Yeah, what?
Inspector Lestrade, gentlemen.
Oh, by Jove.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
Good morning, Mr. Holmes. Gentlemen.
Is everything all right, Inspector? Oh,
this is a most extraordinary case, a most incomprehensible affair.
Oh, you think so, do you, Lestrade? Have you managed to find the secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson?
The secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson, was murdered about 6 o'clock this morning.
Stangerson murdered too? Are you sure?
Extremely sure. It was I who discovered the body at Halliday's private hotel, Gower Street.
Take a seat, Lestrade.
Thank you. I knew that both Americans were intending to sail home from Liverpool, and I reasoned that Stangerson might still be planning to do so. That meant taking a Euston train. I and my men made inquiries at all the private hotels in the area of the station.
But there must be over 100.
Yes, but I tracked him down about 7 o'clock this morning.
It's very early, sir.
He'll see me.
Are you the gentleman he's been expecting, then?
I doubt it. Which room is it?
Here we are, sir. Number 23.
Right. You can go now. Oh, God!
What's the matter?
Have you got a pass key?
Look, what's going on? Who are you?
I'm a police officer. Stand back!
What? Oh, my God!
I'd seen something that made me feel sick, in spite of my 20 years' experience. A little red ribbon of blood was flowing out from under the door. It had meandered across the passage and formed a pool along the skirting at the other side.
And inside the room?
The window was open, and beside it, all huddled up, was the body of a man lying in a pool of blood. The porter identified him as Stangerson. But the strangest part of the whole affair, what do you suppose was above the murdered man?
The word Rucker. written in letters of blood.
Exactly as before.
Was everything the same, Lestrade?
Not quite. This one had been stabbed.
Stabbed?
A deep wound in the left side.
Stabbed. Something must have gone wrong.
Oh, I've arrested an innocent man. My suspect was under lock and key at the very moment the real villain was killing again.
Don't reproach yourself, Gregson. Your case was basically quite sound.
This time, the murderer was seen.
You have a witness?
Yes. A milk boy saw a man climbing down a ladder at the back of the hotel. He was so open about it that the lad took him for a workman.
Did you get a description?
The man was unusually tall, well-built, and had a reddish face, exactly as you said he would be, Mr. Holmes.
Yes. Did you find anything significant in the room?
Nothing. Stangerson's cases were packed. They'd been sent to the yard. There were just a few items lying loose. Here. One cheap novel, which was open on the bedside table. One pipe and one box of matches. They were on a chair. Mm. The only other thing was a small ointment box containing a couple of pills. Here.
The last link. My case is complete.
There you are, old girl. Easy. You won't have to put up with me much longer, I reckon. Ready? Well, off we go, then.
Wait, mister.
Oh, girl.
Oh, thanks, mister.
What do you want, boy?
The governor in the office said your name's Hope. Jefferson Hope.
Well, what if it is?
There's a gent got a job for you. Good money in it, he said.
Was it some kind of joke?
No, honest, mister.
I better not be. All right, where does he live, this gent of yours?
Baker Street, 221B, Baker Street.
Here's the poor creature, Doctor. You can see he's suffering. I tell the maid I'd ask you to put him out of his misery. She's down there now, sobbing her heart out. She really loves this old dog.
Don't worry, Mrs. Hudson. He won't suffer much longer.
Thank you, sir. I'll go and tell the girl.
Easy, boy. Poor old fellow.
Now, look, Mr. Holmes, what exactly is all this about? Why have you sent for this animal?
Patience, my friend. I now have in my hands all the threads which have formed such a tangle. I am as certain of the main facts as if I had seen them with my own eyes. I will give you a proof of my knowledge. Doctor, are these ordinary pills? Here.
No. No, they're not. They're unusually light and transparent. Probably soluble in water. I couldn't really say any more without a proper analysis.
I believe we have a quicker method to hand. I shall cut one of the pills in two and put one half safely back in its box. Now, if we put a little water in this saucer, then you will perceive that the doctor is right and the half pill readily dissolves in it.
Mr. Holmes, this may be very interesting, but I cannot see what it has to do with this case.
It has everything to do with it. I shall now add a little milk to the mixture to make it palatable. Now, on presenting it to the dog, we find that he laps it up quickly enough. Now, Holmes?
If you'll excuse us, Mr. Holmes, my colleague and I have a murderer to track down.
Wait! It can't be a coincidence. It's impossible that it should be a coincidence. The very pills which I suspected in the case of Drebber are actually found after the death of Stangerson, and yet they're inert. What can it mean? What can it mean? I have it. I have it. The other pill. The other pill. Cut it in two. More water. Yes. Dissolve it. Milk. Stir. Here you are, boy. Try this. Look, Watson. Look, Gregson, Lestrade.
What's the matter with the animal?
Ha-ha! It's dead! It's dead!
My God!
Good Lord.
Poor creature.
Of the two pills in the box, one was the most deadly poison and the other was entirely harmless. Oh, I ought to have known that before ever I saw the box at all.
I'll have that pill box back, if you please.
Now, look here, Mr. Holmes, we are all ready to acknowledge that you're a smart man and have your own methods of working, but we want something more than theory and preaching now.
It's a question of taking the man. Gregson made his case out and he was wrong. I went after my man, Stangerson, and I was wrong too. You've thrown out hints here and hints there, but can you name the man who did it?
Any delay in arresting the killer might give him time to strike again.
The doctor's quite right, sir.
There will be no more murders. You can put that consideration out of the question. You ask me if I know the name of the assassin. I do.
Then it's your duty to...
The mere knowing of his name is a small thing, however, compared with the power of laying our hands upon him.
Give us the name, Mr. Holmes.
If this man gains the slightest suspicion that the official force is onto him, he would change his name and vanish in an instant. You would be powerless to trace him.
And now look here, sir, this is not good enough. You must give us the name.
No. I cannot.
Yes. What is it, Mrs. Hudson?
Someone for you, Mr. Holmes.
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, really?
Yes, Wiggins.
I've got a cab downstairs.
Oh, good boy. Here.
Oh, thanks, sir.
The cabman may as well help me with my boxes, sir. Ask him to step up, Wiggins.
Yeah, right away, sir.
What's this about, Mr. Holmes?
I hope you're not planning to leave the capital.
Doctor, be so good as to fetch my handcuffs.
Your handcuffs?
In my writing desk, right-hand drawer.
Oh, certainly. Here you are.
Mr. Holmes.
Why don't you introduce this pattern at Scotland Yard? Look, they fasten in an instant.
The L pattern's quite good enough if we can only find the right pair of wrists to put them on.
Very good, very good. Excuse me, gentlemen, while I just strap up this portmanteau.
Mr. Holmes?
Ah, cabby. Just give me a help with this buckle, would you?
Move aside, sir. Now let me do it.
What? Gentlemen, let me introduce you to Mr. Jefferson Hope, the murderer of Enoch Dribber and of Joseph Stangerson.
No!
Stop him!
Oh, no, you don't.
Hold him still. I've got his legs.
I've got him. Now, Mr. Hope, I have no desire to do so. I assure you that I'm quite capable of breaking your arm if you render it necessary.
You let me go. I know any odds against me.
Very well. These two gentlemen are police officers. And as soon as one of them regains his breath, I'd rather fancy you're going to find yourself under arrest. Are you all right up there, Lestrade?
Everything well under control.
If he ever leaves the force, he's got a second career ready and waiting.
I heard that.
Are you in much pain?
No worse. Mr. Holmes, is it?
Sherlock Holmes.
Well, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, if there's a vacant place for a chief of the police, I reckon you're the man for it.
It's quite enough from you, Hope.
Oh, really, Gregson? It was the ring that gave it to me, of course. That and the wheel marks in the mud of the Brixton Road. If that night had been dry, I never would have found your home.
Can't we save this till we get to the yard, Mr. Holmes?
The marks in the road showed me that the horse had wandered on slightly between arriving and departing. That would never have happened if anyone had been in charge of it. It was clear from the footprints that only two men were ever there, so it followed that the driver of the cab was also the murderer.
But how the devil did you know my name?
As I said, through the ring. It was a question of motive. Despite your clumsy attempt to implicate German radicals, it was clear that the
murderer... papers had been full of secret societies and the like. I thought it might throw you off the scent.
Well, it didn't. Carry on, Mr. Holmes.
Political assassins are only too glad to do their work and to fly, whereas this murder had been done most deliberately. So it was a private matter. Since a woman is usually involved somewhere in these affairs, the ring merely confirmed what I'd already decided.
I wanted the last thing that villain saw to be Lucy's ring. The ring he forced on her finger.
Keep it for the official statement, Hope.
So, Gregson, I did what you neglected to do.
What?
I telegraphed the Cleveland police for information concerning Drebber and trouble over any woman. The answer was conclusive. He had once applied for the protection of the law against one Jefferson Hope, a rival in love.
Love! Love! I wish I could have seen him die. Ten times over!
Let me examine you.
Let me alone. Come on, man! I do what you like.
We must get to Scotland Yard as quickly as we can. This man is seriously ill.
How long have you known?
It's been getting worse for years.
Have you seen a doctor recently?
Last week.
What did he tell you?
What do you think he told me?
I'm afraid he was quite correct.
Oh, what do I care? I've done my work.
Look, Doctor, what exactly is all this about?
Mr. Hope has an aortic aneurysm.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means, Gregson, that he could die at any moment.
Good Lord. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes, quite right. It's a failure of the main blood vessel leading from the heart. It swells up and eventually bursts. There's no cure.
I got it from overexposure and underfeeding in the Salt Lake Mountains. I don't care how soon I go, but I should like to leave an account of this affair behind me. I don't want to be remembered as a common cutthroat.
Lestrade, what do you think?
Well, he's obviously seriously ill. If we take a statement from him now, it's quite likely to be thrown out of court as unreliable.
Or coerced. On the other hand...
Exactly.
Jefferson Hope, I am Inspector Tobias Gregson, and this gentleman is Inspector Giles Lestrade. You are at liberty to make your statement to us, but I am obliged to warn you that it will be taken down and may be presented in evidence at your trial.
Very well. I'm on the brink of the grave. I'm not likely to lie to you. Every word I say is the absolute truth. I have to start some 40 years ago. In the whole world, I doubt if there's a more dreadful place in the great Central American desert. It's nothing but death, desolation. But if you'd been there, gentlemen, on one particular day all those years back, you'd have seen something moving, something alive.
Hush, child, hush. Shh, that's it. There's no sense in crying now, child. It ain't gonna help.
The man's name was John Ferrier. The child was called Lucy.
Baby, shh. We'll find a river by and by, by and by.
John Ferrier told me once that he carried that baby 3 days, 3 nights across the plains. Both their parents were dead, along with the rest of the wagon train. And he looked after her like she was his own. But they never did find that river.
Here, drink this. Slowly, just a sip. That's it.
A baby.
She's asleep, peaceful as you like. God be praised.
Amen.
Amen.
Shh, don't try to speak. You're safe now.
Safe? What are you people doing in this wilderness? Who are you?
We are the persecuted children of God, the chosen ones of the angel Moroni. We are the people of the holy Joseph Smith and his prophet.
God in heaven, you're the Mormons.
We are the Mormons.
10,000 of them there were, trekking across the desert, looking for their promised land. And they'd found John Ferrier and the babe. I suppose you'd have to call it a miracle. As soon as he was able to walk, he was taken to one particular wagon. It was bigger and finer than the rest.
Welcome, John Ferrier. I have been told your story by Brother Stangerson, who found you, and to whom you owe your life and that of the child.
I'm grateful to him, to all of you. Are you the leader?
We are led by the hand of God.
Amen. Amen.
Of course.
If we take you with us, it can only be as believers in our own creed. We shall have no wolves in our fold. Will you come with us on these terms?
I guess I'll come with you on any terms.
Brother Stangerson?
Prophet.
Let it be your task to teach him our holy creed.
Come, Brother Ferrier. You're in my care now. My wives will see to your needs.
Brother Stangerson.
Remember, that now and forever you are one of us. Brigham Young has said it, and he speaks with the voice of Joseph Smith, which is the voice of God.
I guess we can skip a good few years. John Ferrier recovered from his ordeal well enough. Distinguished himself as a guide, hunter. Lucy, well, I'll come to Lucy in a minute or so. When they finally stopped their wanderings, Ferrier was granted as good a stretch of land as any of the men, save Young, of course, and excepting the four elders, Kemble, Johnson, Stangerson, and Drebber. His name was known, respected, but for all the respect, there was one thing about John Ferrier that offended the rest of the Mormons.
I will not do it,